Hey, thanks for tuning in. My name is Alex Starr. I'm a wildland firefighter, traveler, and a lover of fresh perspectives, ideas, and stories from people all over the world that I bring to this podcast in order to help you guys and myself become the people we were born to be. If it sounds cheesy, that's because it most definitely is. Thanks for listening. Pull up a seat and let's get started. Test, test. Hello, people of the interwebs. Oh, hold on. I got to turn off this air conditioning. Hey, thanks for tuning in. I have been gone a few months from the podcast realm. Been super busy with fires, which is kind of an excuse. I could have made time, but, you know, I was working 80 or 90 hours of some of those weeks. So, anyway, I am back now, and I am here with a really, really dear friend of mine, Jesus Bonacici, a.k.a. Boonie, who is a fire crew member along with myself, and an ex-cop and a family man. And he's one of those rare people that can lead and be without too much of an ego. And I'm always an ego, not an eagle. He doesn't have an eagle. And I'm always, these types of people perplex me because I wonder what innate qualities at birth or what brain chemistry, neurochemistry is there that is allowing these certain people to be able to live a less ego-driven life than the rest of us. And so I'm just always perplexed by it. He happens to be one of my dear friends, and he sat down with me to talk about simplicity in life, how he manages being 27 with two young children, and what he does, for stress and all types of things, the ways to manifest that egoless properties within each of us, which, God knows I could use more of. So I really appreciate you guys tuning in. Exciting stuff in the future. Pretty sure I'm moving to Austin, Texas. If anyone has any suggestions, would love to hear it. Contact me on Facebook. Find me on alexstarr.com. I have a cognitive neuroscientist coming up in the next couple weeks, Don Hoffman. You can check out his TED Talks. We're going to be discussing our perceptions of reality. A lot of cool stuff in the mix here. So pull up a seat if you're not already seated. Turn on the headlights. Turn up the iPhone. Turn up the Bluetooth speakers if you're cleaning listening to this. And enjoy this episode with Boonie.
Welcome to Pull Up a Seat with your host, Alex Starr.
I'm excited to finally have you on, though, dude. How long has this been in the makings?
Over a year.
Oh, yeah, counting last season, huh? Mm-hmm. It's been a long time, dude.
I better give you some good juice, dude.
Live up to the hype, dude. Here's the thing, man. We have so many conversations.
Did we start like
yesterday? Yeah,
I started. Oh, shit. All
right. Yeah. We've had so many conversations that could have been podcasts, you know? And then we said, no, dude, let's not talk about it because we're going to save it for the podcast.
Yeah.
But some of the things that we've talked about that I wanted to elaborate on here. Number one that made me really think about doing the podcast with you.
Yeah.
Is that because you've been a cop, you've been a firefighter.
Yeah.
You've done quite a few things and I was thinking back a couple months to give everyone a little anecdote to kind of give the background for this podcast. Is like 2 months ago during work, we were doing that stupid hike and we had to carry a chainsaw. You have to carry a chainsaw on our job. And they wanted me to carry it. And I was just having one of those days. I was super negative and I gave some attitude back to our supervisors and it was kind of this big thing. And then I remember the next day we were going up to the exact same hike doing the exact same thing. And all I had done was decide that whatever happened, I was just going to tell myself, hell yeah. I was going to say, yeah, okay, cool, no matter what. Okay. So we do the exact same hike, and I have to carry the exact same chainsaw. But that day, I was fine with doing it. I was super stoked on doing it, as opposed to the day before, where the only thing that changed was my mindset. And through this entire time, I remember I looked at you at one point, and the whole time, you are the same. You're just like positive, just going along with everything, getting things done. And I realized that it's almost like the negativity is like this little virus, mm-hmm. and that some people have this ability. I don't know what you've done, but you've built up an immunity, or you've done something so that that negativity virus mm-hmm. doesn't affect you seemingly as much as it does other people. Mm-hmm. So what's your secret, dude?
Well, we talked about it, and I fall victim to that all the time, man. Like, I'll tell you, like, dude, I don't feel good today, man. I'm feeling real negative. And I realize that because you said it's a virus and you get caught up into it. And then it's just at the end of the day, man, I don't know where the heck I got it from. But when you're working, and well, in my position, I need to provide for my family. It's not just me. I can't just say, you know what, fuck this. I'm out.
Yeah.
Because I can't. I need to make money regardless.
Yeah.
So it's just, it is whatever you make it. I mean, a lot of the times, other years, a lot of the stuff that we do, we ask ourselves why. We're like, why the heck? Dude, a lot of my drive back in the day, I wouldn't even think about the why or anything. All I would do is be like, this is a good workout. I'm going to get the best out of it. And that was kept me positive for 2 weeks straight. Like, yeah, I'm getting stronger. I'm going to look better. Because that at the end of that summer, we're going to go to the beach. And that was my kind of drive at that time. So, like, there really is no secret. I guess it's just not really think about how dumb stuff is.
Well, so you're saying in the beginning, ignorance was bliss. And you were just going along that you don't ask why. You're just going along with it.
Yeah.
And fighting your own motivation. But now you've... Yeah, man, I don't know. It's like something that, I don't know if some people are born with it or there's something, I think you're born with a certain amount of it,
uh-huh.
obviously, and then like you can develop it and like change and be conscious about like that mental override. But yeah, I think you have something where you just seem to be able to be in that mindset first off more often than other people.
And you talk about it to me all the time. You're like, man, every morning you're just supposed to like, hell yeah, oh, thank you. I'm glad that I'm alive. I'm going to make the best. That's exactly what it is right there. I just think about that when I'm out in the mountains doing silly stuff sometimes that it might seem to us. You just make the best out of it. Because if you get trapped in that stupid downwind tornado, I don't know what you want to call it, man, it makes it miserable. Remember how miserable Idaho was?
Yeah.
We're on that fire. We're just so negative, man.
And yeah.
I mean, we still try to make the best out of it, but I guess that's what I try to do every day, man.
And it's crazy. I mean, like, and it is a virus in the fact that you can have, there's people and there's moments, and then there's the mental override that is literally like you took medicine. It's like if you're sick and you got infected,
yeah.
with this negativity bacteria, right? Uh-huh. And you can go and sneeze on people and give it to other people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then someone can come along and tell a joke or something, and it's like they can inject you with a little medicine as well. And you can be cured from others, or you can be cured within yourself, or you can get infected from others.
Exactly.
And it's like this little plague that comes around and I think it's hard to cure yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. But once you do that mental shift that you're talking about, it's amazing how actually easy and simple it is. And like we were talking about, dude, getting caught up in all these,
especially in this job, man, like with the whole Sam thing, he's cancer, dude. Cause it's so easy to just, you could be real happy and chipper and stuff. And you get that guy around when he's having a bad day. You're just like, man.
Yeah, it can affect you, yeah.
Hopefully Sam doesn't listen to this.
He might, dude. Let that out, dude. I'll put in like another name for it. Be like Frank. Just put a little audio thing over there saying Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've mentioned before too about you review your day.
Oh yeah.
In the mornings or in the evenings.
Yeah.
And then you'll pray to God in relation to things that you need help with.
Yeah.
How much does that help you? That process of reviewing your day. What exactly do you do?
So yeah.
And how does it help you?
When I was I used to be a case manager in behavioral health, and that's kind of where I got this practice from. I don't know if you want to call it practice, but I deal with a lot of people that were depressed or had anxiety, a lot of behavioral issues. And one of the big ones that I'd preach to them was reflection, just reflecting on what makes you happy. A lot of it is that people, I dealt with like middle-aged Mexican women, that their priorities are just their children and stuff like that. So I would just have them do a reflection every night and just think about their day, if they ever put themselves before their children or their husbands and stuff. So after preaching it so much to all of these women, I started doing it 2 years ago when I got out of that job. So every night I told you my drive home right now is 2 hours. So I'll just think about that day. I don't think about anything else, just that day. And something as simple as like today, like the guys were kind of cranky.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll nitpick all of those words that I said or that I did or things that, and I'll break it down like one by one. And then I'll think about that, and then I'll just put it into play the next day. Like, oh, maybe I should have said this, or maybe I should have done that, or maybe I shouldn't have taken it personal. And then I'll just, since I think about it so much at the end of the day, and then in the beginning of the day, I do the same thing. I just critique myself and how I go about my business, whether it's like me doing ignitions on a fire or something as, man, maybe I was a dick to this person. Maybe,
yeah.
And I'll think about that and I'll put them into play. And a lot of the times I'll try and reflect on that. Like the little, not just the big things, all the little things.
Sure.
That helps me out a lot, man. It's a big part of my day.
Constant evaluation and improvement.
Yeah.
It's really easy to get off course or to not, it's easy to not improve. If you don't self-evaluate,
mm-hmm.
in an honest way too, because yeah. I know for me, the ego, like we were talking about yesterday,
yeah.
like your ego can slip in there and start to tell you things of, you know, those guys deserve it, you know,
yeah.
You don't deserve that, or you do deserve this. And it kind of makes it hard to give yourself an honest evaluation, you know, with when the ego slips in there.
Mm-hmm.
But to really sit there, and for a while I was doing that, man. In the evenings, I would write down what I did good that day. Like I said hi to that cute girl that I've been meaning to say hi to for a long time, or I little things like you're saying, man. It's all those little things. Or I told that person thank you. You know, maybe I usually wouldn't have, and I said I made a point to say thank you to that person. Little things like that add up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started writing them down in the evenings, all the things I did well and then all the things that I need to improve on, man, that was a game changer. And then I stopped because of this job and I didn't keep up the consistency, the discipline of it. But, man, that's a game changer, dude.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I told you, you preach a lot of the things that I've changed in myself. Like even the little things, that whole thing about, hey, maybe you shouldn't say I think so much. And I'll really think about that really hard, and I'll really try to put it into play the next time.
Well, and you know why? And this is another nice little leeway, or what's it called? A nice little segue into another topic is the ability to drop. The number one factor in a good leader is the ability to drop the ego,
mm-hmm.
right? And so when I tell you, hey, man, I've been listening to you talk, and, you know, you say kinda and maybe a lot when I think you should eliminate those. Doesn't sound good.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to, you know, what are your initial thoughts? Because I know for me, sometimes my initial thoughts would be like, what the man? I mean, I guess it depends on who it comes from, but it'd be like, fuck this guy, dude. Like,
yeah.
You know, And you seem to...
The way they tell you, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, yeah. What are your initial thoughts when someone says things like that?
And then, I'll think about every speech that I give. And I'll be like, dang, I really do say that a lot. Or... Yeah, I guess, like I've told you, my feelings really don't get hurt, and I really don't get offended, especially from someone like you or anybody close to me.
We've had, I mean, it's the ability to drop the ego is the number one factor in a good leader, and it's so hard, it's so difficult. And we were talking about it yesterday as well, in that the three people that I can recall, I had two in AmeriCorps, mm-hmm. and you... that just seem to have these innate leadership qualities. I feel like I'm just like sitting, it's just like a compliment board to you. Dude, you were the best person thanks, you had man. Ever, man. Call my podcast. I was complimenting you for an hour, dude.
Bring me beer.
And, no, but all three of you guys, I told you that this is really strange, is the one thing that all three of you have in common, two things. One of them is you lead without your ego, right? There's the things that are done for solely for the best of the organization or for the group, mm-hmm. and not for the individual. It's not because someone looked at me weird. It's not because I don't like that person today, so I'm going to make them do the hard job. It's solely because this is what needs to be done to get the job done in the best possible way. The other thing that all three of you have in common is that neither of you guys are really into social media. And I don't think that's a coincidence. We talked about it. Uh-huh. I think that ability... Those more silent leaders are, it's just strange, man, that like that ability to, those people aren't the ones that you see on TV. Mm-hmm. They're not the ones you hear about.
Yeah.
It's like these silent people doing all these things that really get no appreciation or no recognition or not a lot because they don't even care. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of it. That's what makes them so good is they don't even care about the recognition.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's weird that you don't, they're silent, dude. You never, they're not the people you see on TV or in the magazines. Those are the people that want to be known. Look at me, I'm a good leader.
Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people really don't notice that, man. Like a lot of, in the professional world, the subordinates and stuff, like they notice that. But a lot of the times too, I mean, I feel like they'll follow that loudmouth more and they'll respect them because I know of a lot of, at least I don't respect them, but they're real loud and build themselves up. So they build this freaking imaginary reputation and they get a lot of people to like, oh yeah, oh, he's solid, man. He's badass. Even though they don't know them, like maybe on that level that maybe we're talking about.
Yeah.
And they'll say the same thing. But as opposed to saying, like, you know, they're the silent, more personal because you know them personally. They're like, oh, he's solid, man. He's done this. He's done that. He's done that. Yeah. Just because they've said they've done that. So I feel maybe that's why all these people get recognized and everybody knows about what they've done because they say it to people.
They project.
Yeah. And that's...
They get people to buy into the
illusion. That's how it is. And the government, I think.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about it.
Yeah, that's exactly, I think, what it is.
Yeah.
Because I don't know anybody that runs for anything. I don't know them on a personal level. Yeah. And there's a lot of intricacies. You know, people are complex. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of intricacies that go into a person sitting there before you. So if you can project yourself in a way, you know, with confidence and charisma... But you really don't know what you're doing. It really doesn't matter.
Mm-mm.
Because we're all going to buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no way to get to know you on the personal level and see all the little faults and maybe some things that wouldn't make you good or maybe that would make you good.
Yeah.
There's no way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you get these people that are at the top that are more show, they're more bark than bite.
Mm-hmm.
And those other people, you know, yourself included, that maybe won't be at the very top because they're not putting on as much of a show.
tricky.
Right? Yeah. So it's like, should the people, should someone like you, like, what do? Do you start to give into the ego more if you want to develop? Or will the abilities always overshine the talk?
I don't know. Sometimes I catch myself thinking that. I'm like, man, maybe I should talk more about myself. Maybe I should. And you know what's crazy too, dude, because sometimes when I catch myself saying like, oh, I do this, I do that, like to like my fiance or people close to me, and they'll be like, wow, that's not fair. Like, well, why do you do all that? And I'll be like, man, I shouldn't be saying stuff. I mean, it's my job, man. I'm supposed to do it, or it's my responsibility, or not just professionally, on a personal level,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe I shouldn't be complaining about it. And I'll catch myself and I'll beat myself. Like, nah, I'm not going to do that. That's not me. I should just do it.
Yeah.
So it's funny how you say that, because I'll kick myself about it. But no, that's not, that's annoying. That's not how I want to be, man. And I'll reflect on it at the end of the day. And the next thing, I'm not doing that shit. And I'll stop doing it.
So that reflection.
Until I get really frustrated sometimes. And then I just need to let it out. And then I let it out, and then I'm over it, and then I'll stop doing it for a while.
And you kind of recenter yourself or reground yourself through the evaluation. Yeah. Getting that difference between what you want and what other people say you should want is a constant.
That's true.
Constant evaluation. And that's why I think those end of the day evaluations that you're talking about are so key. Mm-hmm. Or meditation, or like you say, you pray to God, right?
Yeah.
Because without those, you get lost in your people telling you, man, you shouldn't act like that. You should act like this. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Maybe I should do that. And then the next person says the exact opposite. And you're just going to be pulled by a million different interests and personalities, mm-hmm, until you decide for yourself, oh, I don't like that. I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a constant influx from everybody. And then it's a constant reevaluation to decide, I do want that. I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you were talking about.
Yeah. I always try to take it in. Like, and I don't like to be, I know a lot of people that are like, No, that's not true. No, that's not how I'm going to be. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. A lot of the times I'll take it in. I'll take their advice. And I'll be like, oh, well, that's a good point. Like, I won't shut them down right away, and I'll analyze and think about it. Be like, oh, that's stupid. I'm not. Or I'll be like, oh, that's a really good point. But I guess that's what makes you a likable person at the same time, too. I've met people that always give you the opposite when you're telling them stuff, and they're like, no, that's not true, dude. Even though if they don't know like the whole truth, they'll just argue with you.
Yeah.
They'll try to prove their point.
Yeah.
As opposed to thinking about it and maybe like, oh, maybe he wasn't right. And
well, you know what that is.
That's ego.
Yeah.
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 That's true. I guess that's where we say I don't have it that much.
Yeah, you definitely have it. I mean, I can only compare it to myself. And mine has been weakened, but has been rampant in the past. Seeking validation through things.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about girls yesterday. That could be a topic for a whole other podcast. But using the ego as a sense of validation. And if someone was to say something to me like that, especially a few years ago, my initial reaction, fuck you. Fuck this guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And I would have built it up, man. I wish I could think of a good story. I mean, there's tons of them. But I mean, it didn't matter who it was. My parents, teacher, friend, somebody says anything to me besides you're great, and boom, man, you're attacking me. You're attacking my livelihood. You're attacking, you know, my very, very fragile sense of self. And I would go on the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Just in my head, or literally, or mentally, I guess I would go on the offense depending on who it was. They don't know what they're talking about. Fuck them. yeah, just, I mean, completely, because it's like when you have such a, and it's something I've been working on, but when you have such a fragile sense of self, or I guess when you have such a fragile, like, self-worth, you know, like self-esteem, when it's low like that, and you just, everything is, one person doesn't like you, one person, and you spend your whole time then trying to get that validation from people. Mm-hmm. Or when somebody says something like that, you know, a critique, it's like you've attacked my, like, myself, like my soul, like, whereas now it's a little better, but then there's people like you. And once again, I don't know if you were endowed with it by, you know, God, you know, as some might think, or by the luck of the draw. Cause some people definitely have it, and you don't, you can develop it to a certain extent, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of people that are born with it, with more self-worth and less ego.
Yeah.
You know, that ability to take that second and say, huh, wonder if they're right. That's the absence of ego.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I've never really thought about it until yesterday when we were talking about it. As we were drinking, I didn't think about it at the end of the day.
A couple of beers always makes it come out.
But yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I've had a lot. I guess professionally, I've had a bunch of jobs where I do stuff wrong. And maybe in the beginning, I don't remember, I did get offended, but after doing so many things wrong, a lot of the times I don't automatically think that I'm right. I'll think about it, and then if I'm right, I like to be sure of myself that I am right. I don't like to just go up and argue something that I know I'm wrong.
Right.
Maybe that's what it is. I like to make real thoughtful decisions or act on thoughtfully.
Yeah, it's a very, it's a rare, but it's a very important trait to have.
Mm-hmm.
That ability and how it relates to girls that we were talking about yesterday, mm-hmm. and how we both seem to have, they were similar conditions we were talking about, the little mm-hmm. stories we were sharing about, you know, getting or being able to attract girls. You were saying, you know, there were girls that were attracted to you,
mm-hmm.
but you wanted to be Mr. Cool Guy. And I was saying, oh, dude, that's like, you want to be cool. That's your ego. And you were, what were you telling me? You were saying, no, I don't know. I just wanted them to want me. And I don't know.
That's it. At the end of that, yeah, I just didn't like them, man. And that was the end of it.
Whereas on my side of that was, if a girl was attracted to me, then I immediately wanted to have sex with him. For all the wrong reasons, you know, being 20 years old and just seeking the validation from what a girl can offer, as opposed to, you know, you would say, well, I didn't like them, so I didn't have sex with them, you know, and I would say, well, I didn't like them, that's why I had sex with them. As terrible as that sounds.
That's funny, man. I said we're similar in a lot of ways. We get along really well, but totally different.
Yeah.
This is more of a relationship podcast.
I know, dude. Dude, I love you, bro. I love you, man.
Let's see how, who can out compliment each other.
Yeah, I'll get you one more beer. Yeah, this will be the cutest podcast award. How do you use it when your relation to God and your prayers? What do you say when you're talking to God? I think we have very similar ones, in, you know, viewpoints on that, but manifested in different ways. And the fact that I don't pray specifically to this godly figure.
Mm-hmm. So the way that I talk to him, because like I told you, I'm Catholic, so I don't know if you're real familiar with the Catholic religion. It's real structured, and there's like a certain way to pray. There's a certain way to say the Hail Marys and the Our Fathers and stuff like that. And I don't do that. I never pray those prayers. I just have a conversation with him like this, how I'm talking to you. It, of course, it's all in my head. Sometimes I'll talk to him out loud when a lot of it is in my truck. Right? And I do a lot of praying at my ranch by myself. And I keep it pretty simple, man. I'd be like, hey, God, this happened today. And was I wrong? Maybe I shouldn't drink so much. Or what do you think? Do you think I yelled at Monique? Can you just help me talk to her better, communicate better with her? And at the same time that I'm talking to him, I'm reflecting on everything. So after I'm done with that, I feel so much better. Because just including him in that conversation to myself, it makes me feel better than when I don't include him and I'm just thinking about my day. Just to say, hey, God. And I talk to him like that. Hey, God.
This is out loud.
Yeah, out loud. Yeah, just, I did this today. I'm not sure what this is. You could please give me a hand and help me understand this better. Like that. Really simple. Nothing special or anything. After I'm done talking to him, to that conversation with him, I feel way better and I feel more confident. And then the next day when I put it into play, I like to thank him as well. If I improve on something or if I get compliments, little compliments like from you or from Monique or my mom.
This relationship. Jesus Christ. Go on.
Stuff like that, man. That's how he plays a role into my behaviors and everyday decisions, man.
Are you picturing? Because I've never prayed before.
No, not
in that way. Not to an entity.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked to. I mean, I guess you could say it would be the universe. I don't know how else to describe it. Or I've to myself, or to the universe, or you know, to just the life force, but I've never had this idea of
the higher power.
No, I've never had like the God, you know, picture, I guess, or the ideology of like the man up in the sky kind of thing. Like I'm not talking to this bearded figure in the sky in my head.
Yeah.
But it's still the same kind of talk, you know? So when you're speaking to God, are you picturing something in your head?
No, I'm not.
You're talking.
I'm talking to a voice.
Like, what do you? Who do you think you're talking to? You know what I mean? Like, what are you picturing in your head?
Picture. Well, I've never seen an image of God. I've seen an image of Jesus.
Yeah.
And he has a beard and stuff. But God, to me, he's everything. He's the heavens, how he said the other day, the clouds. He's earth. He's life. So when I'm talking to him, I'm just picturing a voice talking to me. And a lot of the times I catch myself staring up to the sky. It's weird, but that's what I have. That's my idea of it. I was raised Catholic, but I guess I never really bought into that part of it, the whole structure. But I believe in God, and it's helped me out. What really helps me out, man, at the end of the day, like, the end of it, I think my trick is I try to keep it as simple as possible because I've tried to overthink stuff and it gets me confused, man, and it gets me thinking. But if you could just learn that trait right there, just keep it as simple as possible. It's easy, man. Oh, don't be miserable. Be happy every day. Don't just let this person control you. Don't let this person ruin your day. Just go hiking. If you keep it simple for an hour, you'll get past it and you'll be positive. You'll be okay. If you overthink it and you start getting miserable about it or whatever the case may be, it'll mess you up. And I've done that a lot of the times. I try to make it way too complicated. Even everyday tasks, you try to make changing a tire complicated and you're never going to change it. If you keep it simple, if you burn out a mountain, if you make it complicated, you'll never burn it. That's the trick right there, I think, dude.
You have an example from your daily life, not work, something that people could relate to? Relationship or something recently that happened?
Let's see. About keeping it simple. Yeah. With my sisters. So I told you I'm Mexican. It's Mexican as they come. So we have this culture, man. And it involves, like, you need to go to everybody's birthday parties. If you don't make it, it's they get offended, man. So a lot of the times I didn't want to go, man. I'd make this huge lie about, like, no, well, I needed to do this. Like, Monique has freaking a surgery, and it's not true, man. I'd get stressed out, and it was a big deal not going to these reunions. So recently I missed Selena's, is my sister. I missed her little girl's birthday party. And usually work saves me because I'm always out. But I was off that day, completely off. And they knew about it. And I didn't feel like going, man. I was tired. And I was like, man, what kind of lie am I going to come up with now? And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to tell them, hey, I'm tired and I can't make it. Done. What are they going to do? So usually I'll lie about it, and if they catch me, then they get really upset. So my mom called me. She's like, oh, yeah, we're getting ready to go to the party. And I talked to her. I was like, I'm not going to go, and I'm tired. I'll call Selena. I'll tell her. And I called her up, and I just, nah, sorry. You know, I can't make it. I have to do laundry. I'm tired. But wish the girl a happy birthday, and I called her. No fights, no conflict. Nobody got pissed.
Nobody did.
Just kept it simple, and I guess it's honesty. Yeah. Don't try to cover it up. And we talked about this last night too, man. If you just, people can't get mad at you for being honest. If it's sincere and authentically honest, that's a big one. Just be honest and don't try to sugarcoat stuff.
This morning you asked me to tell you what time the barbershop closed. Or yeah, today, you know?
Yeah.
And so I went to the barber, and I completely forgot to ask him what time it closed. I get back in the car, and I get my phone out, and I start to text you, and I say, hey, man, they close at 7. I wrote that out.
And you had no idea.
I had no idea. But I didn't want to tell you, dude, I fucking forgot.
Yeah.
And I do those little lies all the time. Yeah. Well, I'll just, they're like these micro lies, you know, or, you know, you just, I'll just keep them happy, you know,
mm-hmm.
Or exaggerate on stories, those little things like that. But yeah, I wrote that out to text you.
Mm-hmm.
They closed at 7. I didn't ask him, and I almost sent it, man. I was so close to sending it, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Just, if he asked, tell him that you'd forgot to ask. It's not that big a deal.
It's not, yeah.
And you're right, man. It does. It comes back to being honest with yourself and then being honest with other people.
Yeah.
And keeping it simple, like you said.
Yeah. Oh, why didn't you do it? I forgot. Okay.
Yeah, because you know what? We make things...
we make our lives complicated.
We do it to ourselves.
Life is simple.
You have things you like, then do them. You want to... What did Booster tell us the other day? Booster, who's been on this podcast too, you know, he's always telling us, well, if you want to do it, then do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, if you... if you want to talk to that person, then talk to that person. You know, you want to learn. I always talk to him about learning Spanish stuff. And he's like, well, then just learn it, Vato.
Yeah.
What do you mean? It must be harder than that. And he'll be like, oh, you just learn it. Or how he was telling you, like, just talk to Monique. Just talk to her.
Oh, yeah, that one day when we had that fight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess I'll just talk to her. Yeah, just talk to her. It'll be fine.
It's that simple.
It really is that simple. Yeah. And it's our own minds that create these complicated scenarios and these, you know, we run these storylines in our head about what we shouldn't do and what we could do. And
And even if I'm walking to go get food, and I'll play out the scenario of what could happen, how hot it'll be. Will I maybe run into a stray dog? Like the sweat. I mean, like, I will, before I decide, say, I'm going to walk to Denny's and get some food.
Okay.
I will have played this story out in my head about how that walk is going to go. And then from that, I will either decide to do it or not. Based on a story I created that actually hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm basing my decisions on fantasy.
Oh, it's gonna be hard. Yeah, fuck that. I'm staying here.
Yeah. But I don't know anything. I mean, I could go halfway and realize it is hot. Not that I thought it was gonna be hot, that I actually get hot. And then I turn around and come back.
Mm-hmm.
Or I make it all the way there. But instead, I make these decisions based on projections or storylines in my head about, it was hot 2 weeks ago when I walked, so I don't know if I want to walk. But it's not 2 weeks ago. It's different today.
Yeah.
And instead of doing, and that's a small example, but those overcomplications of day-to-day things, you know, I'm sure you've done it. You do it on... should I get an energy drink or not? Let's say it's something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I had a coffee this morning. It's 2 p.m. I shouldn't buy it. I already spent $10 on it yesterday. I don't know if it can stay cold that long. It's these stupid things.
If you want to buy it. If you don't, don't.
It's... yeah. Yeah, man.
It's funny, man. Think about it. It's true. I've done that a lot. And you know what? I don't catch myself doing that much. Perfect is, we're talking about girls yesterday, right? Like, in high school too. Like you'd hear rumors about this one girl.
Yeah.
You're like, man, do I even want to talk to her? They're going to see me talking to this girl. They're going to think that I'm burned out, that I'm hooking up with her. Maybe I shouldn't talk to her. And you never talk to that girl ever just because of that. He's like, oh, everybody thinks this. Or they said that this happened. Or they say that she's crazy. And you don't know firsthand. You're just basing your decisions on what everybody else says. Or what you think that person may do.
That's what it is. Yeah. That's the real kicker, is you're basing your decisions on your thoughts about what other people may think.
Yeah.
I think that simplicity is cutting all of, it's cutting all the, trimming all the fat of like the consciousness that we've been endowed with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cutting it down to its core matter. What I mean by that is like your story about your sisters.
Mm-hmm.
There's a million different routes your brain could have taken and stories about what this person would have said to that person, and they would have thought about this. And that's just our overcompensation and our brains working in this way that isn't helpful to us, right?
Yeah.
But by cutting it down to the simple things, you just go, I'm tired. I don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Because that's the I guess it's cutting it down to the reality. It's cutting it down to the reality. I'm hungry. I want to go to walk to Denny's. Start walking. It gets hot because it's actually hot, not because I'm projecting that it may get hot.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you talk to that girl and you date her or you don't, or things happen because that's what actually happens, not because of what you thought may happen that other people may think.
That's true, man. That's true. Another thing, man. I'm not changing the subject, but
I'll change it.
Little things that people tell me, man. I'm telling you, I go back and think about it and I'll put them into play. Remember last year you told me about some, I think it was from the Giants, about like their secrets, like on childhood parenting and stuff, like having a family. And some baseball players like really got into detail, like, oh, you need to follow this book. You need to take them to these schools. You need to do this at this certain age. They need to be potty trained at this certain level. And they interviewed a couple of them.
These were the Giants baseball players.
It was, right? And one of them just kept it simple, and it's all going to fall into place. I think he said, just love your kids.
He said, just love your kids.
I've thought about that a lot. I still remember it perfectly how you told me, but...
You listen when I talk.
Oh, and they're good points. Little thing. That conversation lasted, what, 30 seconds?
It's funny how little things stick like that, huh?
As opposed to something that happened... you've told me a lot of stories, but that's one of the main ones that I remember, you know? Just little stories like that. And if you really think about them and put them into your everyday decision making and the way you develop as a person, they work, dude.
Well, it's how many things.
If you learn them and you understand them, you're like, you know what? Yeah, that's.
And you implement them.
And you, you act on them,
That's the true ticket. It's implementing these things, right? Sit here and talk about simplicity, but then go out and change the way that you think about things. And force yourself to change your own story.
Mm-hmm.
And to develop yourself in a way that you want to, not the way that you've somehow turned into. You know, every morning you wake up and you can, I'm going to keep it simple today. Or like you said, I'm going to keep it simple for 1 hour today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start with that tomorrow. Because a lot of times I'll break down and I'll come to like these realizations where I'll meditate or I'll be out and we'll be hiking or something. And I'll think, oh my God, Alex, I'll have this like breakthrough. You know, it's like I imagine my head is like this, the thoughts and everything racing around about what could be and what couldn't be. And it's like this huge storm or something. And finally, when you have these moments of realization through prayer, or through meditation or through looking at your kids or something, it's like you break through the clouds and it's just all like, the nice big open sky and it's just nothing there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I realize in those moments, I go, Alex, you don't have any actual problems. Not only do you not have any actual problems, you're endowed with multiple blessings. I mean, like thousands of blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And yet for some reason, the mind like warps these things and puts them into different categories and I mean, to keep it simple is like, everything is good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to create these false narratives and these stories and lies about this and that. It's like, everything's good. Just keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll do that tomorrow for an hour. Try it.
Try it out.
Keep it simple for an hour.
Yeah. Instead of being like, be more assertive, be positive, be this, be a better speaker. Keep it simple and it's all going to fall into place. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe it doesn't work for you.
It's like your disclaimer. It's like you're selling a supplement and it's like, the FDA has not supported any of these claims. Yeah, try it, guys. Maybe. Maybe not. But it's true. I mean, because there's so... Go ahead.
It works for Booster. We've talked about Booster all the time. And it works. It's working for me, man. It'll work for you, dude.
Where do I buy the product, man? Yeah. No, you're right. And once you find those things, those foundations, you know, like you said, there's so many things to work on, you know, like you get caught up in, how do I communicate better? You know, how do I, like you said, be more assertive? How do I express my love better?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a hard time saying... You know, I said I love you to my dad, I think, for the first time last year. That's just not something that we say to each other. I know that he does, but we just don't say it to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very hard time saying it to anyone but my mom. I don't know why. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe you don't know what I mean, but...
I do. I'm a dry person myself.
And but you're not, and I don't think I am either. But for some reason, I could be like to my sister and say, hey, you're pissing me off, would be very easy for me to say. But to say, hey, you know what? I love you. It'd be really difficult. Yeah. So anyway, those types of things of expressing yourself and being assertive and all these things that you're working on, choosing something like keeping it simple and then allowing that to be the foundation instead of trying to work on 20 different things at once and remembering all the 20 things like, oh, I need to look people in the eye and I need to smile more. Talk slower and remembering all these things and just go, you know what? I'm just going to keep it simple today. I'm going to wake up in the morning and say, thank you for another morning, universe, God, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to give back. See how your day goes. And build off of that, you know, mm-hmm. and naturally let it build off of that. I think that's when people get into trouble. When I get into trouble, is forcing things. Is like, you know, I imagine like a tree growing, and it's like it just grows. It grows to its ability that it's going to grow to, and it doesn't struggle. It doesn't fight with its growth. It doesn't mm-hmm. struggle and fight with its death. And instead,
it happens.
Yeah. It just happens the way it's going to happen. And instead, us humans are like trying to just struggle and fight against mm-hmm. everything. Where it's just, I could just wake up and say, I love myself. I love my life. And I'm going to be the best person I can today. And instead of struggling against everything, mm-hmm. I didn't want to be in this line for this long. I wanted that person to text me back sooner. I don't want to go do this right now. I want to go do this. I always want to be, I want to go do there. I want to be there. I want to be talking. Not here. I mean.
Yeah.
Boom. Keep it simple.
I need to make money. I need to do this. Yeah, that's true.
I don't have enough money. I have too much money. I don't have enough time. I have too much time. What am I supposed to do with it? Right?
It's true. That is true. You just go with the. Not go with the flow, but you just, he said, don't force it.
Yeah, and it's not apathy. It's not giving up. Mm-hmm. It's not forfeiting or surrendering.
Mm-hmm.
It's being an active player in your life, but from a simple foundation, I guess. That's the best, yeah.
That's a good point.
That's really easy to talk about on here. I'm definitely gonna do it.
It's easy to say it, man.
Yeah,
but if you say it 50 times and you do it once, good job.
Yeah, and build off of that one time, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so let me ask you a couple questions to finish off. It's already been 50 minutes, if you can believe that.
Dang.
It goes by fast, huh?
Yeah,
it does. Yeah. Number one question is, what's an insecurity you have about yourself?
Insecurity about myself. Can you hear me good?
Yeah, okay. You're good, dude.
Insecurity about myself.
Biggest one, you would say.
Oh, shit, dude. I hate these questions, man. Insecurity. Pass. Next question.
Nah, dude, you can't pass. Okay,
secure. So it's not your biggest fear. Your biggest insecure about myself personally.
Mm-hmm.
Giving me these questions for.
That'll defeat the purpose.
I know. Biggest insecurity.
It's a pretty good sign if it's taking you this long to think of something.
I know. It's because I'm getting confused with like biggest fears.
Okay. Well, what are you thinking about that? Yeah. What's say the fear?
It's failing.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Okay. I'm sorry. That was, yeah.
Okay, yeah, failing, man. When I was growing up, I was had a lot of successes, and I talked to you about it, and you actually helped me recognize my successes, because I just think about the time that I failed.
As most people do, yeah.
Yeah. So the time that I failed, I didn't have a job. I got fired. I had a family of two. Houses, I had bills, car payments, and everything. So at that time, I was without a job for 9-10 months. No job, no income, dude. College degree, fired from a job. And I was just there in limbo, man. I was going It was a rough time. And that now that I have a job and I have a bigger family, that is my biggest fear right there, because their livelihood is on me.
Mm-hmm.
So me getting injured or me getting fired or me passing away, that's my biggest fear, because they depend on me. So my biggest fear would be for my dependents to not have me.
And to fill that.
That's just the father in me, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
And now that I'm a father, that's my number one priority. It's the first thing that I think about.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
Damn, my kids, my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great, great. And then the next question would be, in relation to your kids, when they're 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, and you eventually pass away, what are three things? I know. But what are three things? You don't have to die, I guess, in this story.
When you die, dude.
I guess it's like dramatic, but you really don't have to die in this story. I guess in, let's say in 15 years,
okay,
you know,
okay.
20 years, when they're both older, because they're what, 5 and almost 2.
Yeah.
In 20 years, when they're both adults, what are three things that you would like them to say about you?
About me?
That you've done, that the type of person that you are, that you would like for them to say, my dad is these three things, and those three things that you want the world to recognize you as.
Okay.
That would mean that you lived a good life.
Okay, so my, the picture that I have in my head, okay, so I love my father, man. I love him to death. Okay,
he's a funny guy. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not the ideal father figure that I have. So the ideal father figure that I had is the grandpa that died 2 years ago. And you were there, remember, when I flew out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and him, he is just number one right there. So what I remember of him is it plays a lot of the way that I've developed as a father. And number one was, you always love your children. I'm terrible at disciplining them. That's not a good thing. It's also not a bad thing. So I just want them to know that I love them with all my heart, that I always provided for them. Number two. And number three would be, I was a good person in general. I don't want them, because you could be those two first things. Let's say you're an alcoholic. They'll remember that. You're always passed out drunk. You could provide for them. You could love them. But if you're always drunk all the time, or you could provide for, love them, but if you're always fighting with your wife, if you don't have that good relationship, that's what I would, that'd be, that I was a good husband.
No, it's very good.
Yeah.
Because those are great things.
That's what I think. So did you mean that just for my kids or for the world?
No,
or for people that knew me?
I mean, you could extrapolate those to everybody, right?
Yeah.
But the kids are so personal that,
yeah.
I guess it was for both, yeah.
And even for everybody else, that would be the number one thing too. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. That fits the bill for anybody you encounter.
Yeah,
the kids are just like the magnified version of like who you want to be, you know, because they see it all. Cool, man.
I think so.
Some great responses. Dang. Good job, dude. On the spot too.
You think so?
Yeah, dude. Good work, dude. We should go get some food in Mexico. What do you think, dude?
Cool, dude.
I'm glad this finally happened, man.
Yeah, we'll have a couple more, man.
Yeah, I know. It's funny when you have so many conversations, then
you
try and like compile it into this 50-minute, you know, hour thing. All these conversations you've had in the past few years, and
it's hard for the listeners to play catch up or to try to put things together, maybe.
Right? Yeah,
you did a good job though putting it together, though. Compliments continue.
It's called the Compliment Podcast. So. All right, cool, dude. Let's go get some food. Later.